As we continue with our study in the fruit of the Spirit, you know, just remind ourselves of the various attributes that we've been discussing over the last couple of months. So if you can turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, reading verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been going through the different attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. We're down to three more. And so tonight, we'll be looking at the attribute of faithfulness. When we hear about the word faithfulness, it could mean our trust in God, our confidence in a fellow believer, or reliability. So people use the word faithfulness when they also talk about a marriage between a husband and a wife. You hear it, so-and-so is a faithful husband or a faithful wife. It comes from a place of trust and loyalty. But what about this phrase, I'll believe it when I see it? Have you ever said that or thought of that? I know I have. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where people go back on their word. Or sometimes you can't trust everything someone says. People have shown in proof that humans can't always be trusted. That's why I feel like faithfulness is such an important attribute for a believer. See, if we were to think of a passage from the Bible that talks about faith or faithfulness, one of the main passages that comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 11. So if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, this evening we're going to be looking at various passages throughout, so bear with me. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, this verse isn't really talking about the definition of faith, but it's showing what faith does in a believer's life. If you look at this passage, faith impacts our attitude. And when faith impacts our attitude, it overflows to impact our actions too. See, it makes things hoped for as if they've already happened. Now you think about that for a second. Faith is something that you know is going to happen, but like you believe it already did. It gives the unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christ are absolutely certain and real. See, faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. I'm going to repeat that again. Faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. Do we all believe that God is trustworthy? If so, how confident are you in that? See, it's knowing without a doubt that when God says something, it's true. That whenever He promises something, it's going to come true. See, that's what faith is all about. So now the question comes up, how does this impact our walk with the Lord? How does this impact a believer? So like I said, we're going to be looking at various passages this evening. And we're going to look at 3 points in regards to faithfulness. And the first passage we're going to look for is, if you're in Hebrews chapter 11, it's the next chapter over. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at the first 3 verses. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, the first principle that we see in regards to faithfulness is that faithfulness begins with Jesus. And we see that in verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So when we think about, in some versions, it shows uses the word author or pioneer, originator. It shows that Jesus is the one who authored this. It began with him. This story that we call the gospel, this great story that we have fallen in love with, began with Jesus. He's the one that wrote it. Meaning that our faithfulness in life is only possible because Jesus was first faithful. See, Paul also reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says that, I'll read it, you're on the turn there, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this faithful God that we serve, this faithful God has provided everything we need in Jesus. The faithful God that we serve is the one who draws us to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. This same faithful God is the one that calls us to walk in the Spirit and to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is the author of faith. He wrote this story. He becomes our substitute and faced the wrath of God the Father. See, that wrath of God, which we so rightly deserve, is the one that Jesus faced. And to those of us who've trusted in Jesus' finished work on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we now get to share in this story because of Jesus' faithfulness. Charles Spurgeon once wrote and said, "My faith rests not in what I am, or shall be, or feel, or know, but in what Christ is, in what he has done, in what he's doing for me." Faithfulness begins with Jesus. When we continue reading, we look at our second principle. And principle number 2 is that faithfulness is perfected by Jesus. We see that in the same verse, which is Hebrews chapter 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. As we read through the Bible, we're reminded of passage after passage and repetitive messages of God's redemptive grace and love. Over and over, we see man walks away from God. God shows mercy and love. And over, we see this, and not only does faithfulness begin with Jesus, but it's also that Jesus is the perfecter of it. See, Jesus was faithful to the will of the Father, even to the point of death. Jesus was faithful 100% in regards to God's will, the Father's will. See, his life here on earth was perfect obedience to what the Father wanted. And even to the end, we're reminded of his prayer when he's in the garden. In Matthew chapter 26, where he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." See, Jesus was faithful to this calling, to the point of perfection. If you can turn with me, the next passage we're looking at is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 13. So now we see this attitude that Jesus had, perfecting faithfulness. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 13, "Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So you see that this passage reminds us that God is still working on us. The moment we trusted in Jesus, we're saved. We're safe from eternal separation, eternal damnation. We're safe from facing God's wrath. But we're not perfect yet. We're not perfect in our faithfulness. And that's where Jesus is working in our lives. See, he wants us to perfect this faith in us until the day that we're with him. And we see that in the chapter right before it, in verse 6, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, is, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." See, not only is faithfulness perfected by Jesus, but he's also working and making it perfect in us too. So how are we supposed to respond? How do we respond when Christ is trying to work in us and trying to make this faithfulness perfect in us? Which brings us to our third principle: faithfulness no matter what. When we were first reminded in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God, we're saying that no matter what God says, do we believe that it's true? Because we know that God cannot lie. So we should be confident in whatever God says. The issue is that we have problems around us, burdens in this life that distract us from our focus on God. We said that faithfulness begins with Jesus, and faithfulness is perfected by Jesus. And then we were reminded that we need to keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. It reminds me of the story in Matthew chapter 14. And it's a familiar story where Jesus is walking out on the water. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to look at Matthew chapter 14 in verses 22 onwards. And Jesus is walking out there. The disciples are fearful with the storm that's going on, and they see someone walking. I mean, this is not normal. They're looking out and there's someone walking at the water towards them. Jesus responds by telling them, "Do not fear, it's me." Immediately, Peter's response is, "If it's really you, command that I can go out and walk on the water." Jesus tells him to come. He starts walking with his eyes looking at Jesus, and he's walking on water too. But the moment he looks at the waves and the wind, he starts to sink. Hebrews is talking to us and reminding us that we need to keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Because no matter what's around us, no matter the situations and the burdens that are around us, which are always going to be there, the moment we take our eyes off of Jesus is when we start to sink. So that reminds us again, it's like this third principle of faithfulness, no matter what. No matter what the circumstances are around us. No matter what the situation we're in around us. God wants us to be faithful no matter what. As I was preparing for this devotion a few weeks ago, a passage that was on my mind, and I promise this is the last passage I'm going to have you turn to. So thank you for bearing with me. But if you could turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Again, a very familiar story. And a quick summary before we look into these verses is you have King Nebuchadnezzar, who's built this giant golden statue. And he commands that the moment the musical instruments are sounding, that everyone needs to fall down and worship this golden statue. And anyone who doesn't do so would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now there's three Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who do not bow down and worship the statue. And then that's where we'll start reading from in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13 to 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give an answer to you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." This is verse 18. "But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Here we have the three men who know that there's only one true God, that they're only supposed to worship one true God. Their life is on the line right now, but their faithfulness to God was not shaken. We all agree that we serve a great God. We know and we serve a great God who is able to do anything. And that's what they claimed. They know that there is a God that can save them from this fiery furnace. But in verse 18, the first few words there, "But even if he doesn't," how is our response to that? We know we have a God that can heal diseases. We know we have a God, we read in the Bible, that he brings people back to life. He healed the blind people, the deaf, the lame. We know we have a God who is able to calm the storms with just a word. He created everything. He is able. But if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, is our faithfulness change? That's our question. That's our desire, is that we would have faithfulness that doesn't waver. It's not based on the situation that we're in. It's faithfulness no matter what. Can we say that we're faithful no matter what? If not, our goal is to keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Are there situations that we're going through? Now, sometimes we don't share everything with others, but we all go through situations in life. Family members that are sick, family members that are on their deathbed, worries and finances, everything else that comes in our lives. But the question is, we know we have a God that's able to. That's no question there. The question is, even if he doesn't, are we going to remain faithful? It's easy for us to get discouraged when things don't go our way. No matter how good our way may seem. We might think we have the best intentions. We might think that we have the perfect plan. Even if it doesn't go that way, we need to have the ability to have full confidence in God's trustworthiness. Because at no point in time does God become less trustworthy. So our faithfulness to God overflows when we're focused on him and we're faithful to him completely. That faithfulness overflows to those around us. So let's remember, our faithfulness begins with Jesus. It's perfected by Jesus. And then faithfulness no matter what. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for being a great God. But such a great God that was willing to show compassion, mercy, and grace to us. Thank you for being faithful first. And because of your faithfulness, you draw us to you. Lord, we pray that our lives would be lives that focuses on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. That our lives would be one that, no matter the circumstances around us, would be faithful no matter what. Thank you again for your constant love and care in our lives. And our goal is to want to please you. In your name we pray. Amen.